It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we all know that cats purr, but why do they purr? A researcher who gets up close and personal with purring big cats, including cheetahs, tells us about the mysteries of cat language. First, Dean Kennetter joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you great conversations each and every day here on the Ideas Network. Your support makes it happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be with you today, and I just want to start off by giving a big thank you to everyone who gave during the last hour. This hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts.
These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network, and this is the last weekday of this fall drive, your last chance to give during Central Time. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, a large slice of the funding for programs at WPR, actually the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, state and federal governments and businesses, are important, it's your contribution that makes a really huge difference. WPR is this amazing and varied service it is thanks to your support. You keep independent, high-quality programs on the air. When you give now, you can go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Take your love for high-quality news and love for Wisconsin on the go with the new WPR tote bag. Today only, ask for yours when you give $5 a month for the programs you value on WPR. It's a medium-sized bag, perfect for your library books, your groceries, you name it. Got a navy and orange design. Your support for WPR is going to be on full display. Give $5 a month right now, $5 Friday. Ask for yours at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
That is a really snazzy tote. That is a good bag to pick up. Hey, when you turn on WPR, you get a lot. You get fact-based news, high-quality entertainment, informative talk, and great music. You get a really rich experience no matter when you turn on your radio.
And that variety and depth and breadth is all possible thanks to listener contributions. Make yours right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Rob and I know that you've got a lot going on in your day, and you value your time. Well, we value your time, too. That's why giving to Wisconsin Public Radio only takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It really is quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really does help. Take just a few minutes now to support the station you count on, online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Rob, some great news. We are storming out of the gate on the way towards our goal this hour. We've heard from 5 people already.
No way. Yeah. Just since we started talking?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who's given already. Looking for 5 more people to join in to meet our goal and to blow past it. You make WPR possible when you give. You help us meet these goals. You ensure the programming stays around. Go to WPR.org to make that gift or call 888-202-2552.
Speaking of 5, you can pick up the new WPR tote bag today only for $5 a month. So ask for that with your gift. Maybe this will be your first ever gift, a way to walk in the door here. $5 a month, support great radio, get that tote bag at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you're making a gift, become a sustainer while you're at it. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will be providing reliable, ongoing support for the programs you love.
Glenn in Waupaca says, we love to listen to WPR's programs. And Jennifer in Kaukauna says, I'm donating because I love Larry Mueller and Rob Ferret. Hey, wait a minute. That second one is me.
Yeah,
cool.
That sounds familiar.
Thank you. That's fantastic. Thank you both so much. Glad you love listening. Glad you love giving to support Wisconsin Public Radio. That's what it really comes down to now. You count on us for great conversations every day here on the Ideas Network. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your very important gift right now on this last weekday of the drive, last chance to give during Central Time. Do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you. This is Central Time. Now, take a listen to this.
In.
All right. Now that sound a little like your that might sound a little like your cat, right? Well, it's the sound of our next guest petting a cheetah. Cheetahs, pumas, lynxes, and some other big cats purr, just like house cats, a little deeper as we heard there. But other big cats like lion and tigers apparently can't purr. We're talking about purring now and the many other mysteries of cat communication. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you communicate with your cat in some way? Do you know from the purrs, the meows it makes, what it's trying to tell you? Do you need some context to figure it out? An empty food dish, say? Do you have questions about the sounds that cats, house cats or bigger ones, make? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Eklund is a phonetician and linguist at Linköping University in Sweden. He's an expert on felines and feline vocalizations, among other things. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, you study purring and lots of other sounds that our feline friends and feline wildlife make. Can you just tell us some of your work? What do you do in the lab or out in the field?
It's actually a long story, which has sort of, and it started with one thing, which led to another thing, which led to this. I'm basically a linguist, and I was a speech technologist for 18 years, and I worked there trying to get computers to understand human beings. So I studied a lot of conversations between people. I noticed that people speaking to other people started to speak on ingressive speech, like when you speak on inhalation. I read up on that, and that became a pet project of mine. And then I realized that purring is done 50% on inhalation. So 50% of purring is exhaling, and 50% is inhaling. And that's sort of the trademark definition of purring. And I started to, being a cat person myself, I started to read up on the literature and found that you can find easily hundreds of books on cats, and both felines, which is small cats, and felids, which are the bigger cats. And what astonished me as a phonetician linguist was that everything is sort of written down about cats. People have lived with cats for 10,000 years perhaps, and about half of all the 37 or 40 different cats there are, about half of them have been used as tame, as pet cats, not fully domesticated, but for other reasons. And still nothing was written down about how purring is done. Nobody knows how cats do purr. So at the time, and my girlfriend went down to Africa to work as volunteers in cheetah breeding places and places where they try to save those animals. And the second time we went down there, I wrote ahead and said, I'm a linguist phonetician. Would it be okay if I bring professional recording equipment, do some footage, analyze it acoustically, phonetically, and write a paper on it? And the people in the South Africa, the Del Cheetah Center, they love the idea, because the more they know about what the cats are saying, the better they can treat them, of course. It's like good husbandry. So sort of half tongue in cheek, I analyzed a huge cheetah, the big purring cheetah Kane you can find on YouTube. It was a huge cheetah, the kindest cat I've ever met. And then I recorded my girlfriend's little domestic cat, which was very small, female cat. And I did what I normally do with human beings. I analyzed the sound acoustically and phonetically and compared it, and wrote a paper for the annual Swedish Phonetics Conference in Sweden in 2010. And I heard on the grapevine that the organizers, professional phoneticians, thought that, okay, Robert has blown all his fuses. This can't be serious. And so I gave a short talk. It's like 12 minutes and 3 minutes for questions. And the organizer then and there was Susanne Schwetz, who is a cat, a crazy cat lady, or at least cat lady. And she listened to my 12 minutes talking, went home to record her five cats, and have recorded cats every day ever since, basically. So, and I mainly dealt with cheetahs and lions and the bigger cats, and because I'm allergic to cats, by the way. And we started to... hook up and wrote some papers together. And after a while, a couple of years, she said, let's get funding for this. This is so interesting, a general interest. Everyone has a cat. Everybody loves cats, except dog people, strange ones. And a couple of years later, we started to apply for professional funding, and we got it. So as of 2016, we have had this project where we got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to study human-cat interaction and communication. It's called MeowSick, and we have recorded cats at three different locations in Sweden, and we are just writing up the first official real scientific journal papers on this. We have published a lot of sort of less formal papers over the years.
So
and that focus, that project, as the name suggest, MeowSick focuses on vocalizations, sort of voiced vocalizations. Purring is not really voiced. It's done with the vocal folds, but it doesn't really count as a melodic sound, of course.
So the assumption is, I think for a lot of people, if a cat's purring, it's happy. And while I'm watching you pet this cheetah, I hope it's purring because it's happy, but not always. Purring can mean different things.
Actually, that's interesting, because that's one thing you find in the literature on cats, is that domestic cats don't exclusively purr when they are happy. They purr when they are giving birth, when they are in pain, when they are about to die. Whereas I've asked loads of people who have worked with cheetahs for decades, and they can only attest to cheetahs purring for being happy and content with things as they are. So the question then is, what is purring about? And the thing is that all sort of signaling done by animals is done to signal something to the external world.
We're talking about purring and other cat language. Our guest is Robert Eklund, linguist and phonetician at Linköping University, expert in feline communication. We'll pick up that conversation, and you can join in with your questions about cat communication at 800-642-1234. When does your cat purr? Have you noticed any patterns? Do you have questions? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about feline language with Robert Eklund, linguist and phonetician at Linköping University in Sweden, expert in feline communication, studying why cats purr, how they purr, what it means when they meow as well. Robert, you were talking about language from animals has a variety of purposes, scaring someone, communicating, and purring can be a lot of different things. Now, how about going beyond purring to meowing from our house cats? What kind of a range of communication are we getting from them there?
Meows are really expressive signals that you can modulate them a lot. It's like singing. You can sing different tones. You can sing strong tones. You can change a tone. And cats do the same thing when they meow. And my colleagues at Lund University, Susanne Schwetz and Joost van der Weijer, they have actually done playback experiments. They have recorded cats in different situations. They played back the sound files to people and asked them to tell them whether can they tell what kind of mental state that cat is in. And so, for example, you have cats just being fed their favorite goodies, or cats waiting in the veterinarian's office and stuff like that. And the meows produced in these different two settings are very different from each other. And most people can easily tell whether this meowing cat is a happy cat or if this meowing cat is a not so happy cat. So we've lived together for 10,000 years, and so it's not strange that we have sort of learned how to interpret each other. The other thing is that adult cats rarely meow to each other. Meowing is something cats do to human beings. And a professor I knew, he called meowing some kind of pidgin language between cats and human beings for that reason. Young kittens meow to their mothers who meow back, but adult cats really meow to each other. It's something they do to human beings. And the interesting thing here is that human hearing is very sensitive at that frequency, i.e. pitch. Our ears hear sounds produced at that frequency very well. And cats have obviously noticed that and take advantage of it.
Yeah, as somebody who has had cats in my life and babies in the house in my life, after having babies around, I was very attuned to those pitches. So what, are cats sort of manipulating that human parental instinct there?
I'm quite sure our cats are manipulating us all the time. And there's even this theory, if you've heard about the parasite Toxoplasma, which sort of lives its entire cycle only in cat stomachs. And a huge proportion of the human population is affected by that. Most people never notice, but it's actually quite dangerous. It lies behind people dying from AIDS, et cetera, as an underlying reason. And the funny thing about, well, that didn't sound very funny, but the funny thing about Toxoplasma is that it makes you love cats. So there is a book, The Lying in the Living Room, which I recommend, where the author asks some serious researchers that, is it the case that cats deliberately poison us to make us love them? No. And it's not as far out as it seems. Like if you have laboratory mice, have never seen a real cat ever, or even haven't seen a cat for generations, they instinctively fear cats unless you inject toxoplasma in them when they basically just walk into the cat's mouth. Cats are surely manipulating us. Several people say that cats aren't really fully domesticated the way dogs are. Mm-hmm. Cats still are sort of wild animals, but they are lazy and they take advantage of us loving them.
And one more thing I wanted to ask about before we let you go. You mentioned many felines, domestic cats and big cats, purr, but many don't. A lot of them roar. And I have it right? There's none that roar and purr?
Actually, already in the 1830s, it was sort of observed that the big cats, lion, tigers, jaguars, and leopards, they roar but can't purr. All the smaller cats than that can purr but not roar. When the jury's still out on the snow leopard, it surely doesn't roar, but if it purrs, it purrs poorly. And the funny thing is that we still don't know exactly how cats what they do when they purr. And it's really, really strange, I think, that we've been together for 10,000 years, we've been researching cats for a couple of hundred years, and we're still not quite certain how cats actually do purr. What are the physiological mechanisms? We aren't sure. There are a few theories. Some are dead wrong, that's for sure. Some are plausible, but they are not completely proven yet.
Robert, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and have a nice cat life.
You too. That's Robert Eklund, phonetician and linguist at Linköping University in Sweden. He's an expert on felines and feline vocalizations. Coming up, it's Food Friday. We'll take some of the mystery out of French baking with delicious but easy-to-make cakes. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. That's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Just about 35 minutes left in this hour, and Rob, we're now looking for one more person to join in to meet our goal of 10 gifts this hour. A big thanks to everyone who's given already.
Hey, Dean, you know what this is right now?
What is it?
It is the perfect time to make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been waiting for this all day. This is really the peak, right, of my public radio career.
No better time.
Nowhere to go but down from there. But it is a great time to give. You could put us over the top already in this goal for the hour. It's the last weekday of the drive, last chance to give during Central Time. Don't pause. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Did you get it, Dean? I said pause.
I got you, Rob. Yeah.
You know who has pause?
It took me a couple seconds, but I picked up on that. sticking with the theme, in that last segment, we learned some really interesting stuff about cats and why they purr, why they meow. We talked with one of the very few people in the entire world that studies this stuff. But hey, so many of us have cats. So many of us kind of think about what our cat is trying to say to us? Well, we learned some things about it. It's the kind of conversation that you can take to the dinner table, that you can share with your friends next time you see them. We talk about a lot of serious things on Central Time, but we get some of this quirky, interesting stuff too. You can count on it every day here on the Ideas Network.
Make your gift right meow at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Choose the amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And become a sustainer while you're at it. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or credit card. It'll continue for as long as you like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without. Make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient and flexible, too. Get started now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A reminder that we're closing in on that goal for this hour, looking for one more person to join in, be that one person to get us to that goal, and help us push over the top as well. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Show off your love for public radio and for Wisconsin while you run errands, headed to work, or carry library books. Today, only ask for the new WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month for the WPR news and entertainment you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustainer making those ongoing monthly gifts, a big thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, or whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help us go out to the news with Aurora here. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, it's Food Friday. This week, we're going to France. The author of a new cookbook about French cakes joins the show to tell us why French baking can be a lot simpler than it looks and to share some favorite recipes. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Dean Kennetter joins me now. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. It's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Some great news to report. We have heard from 10 people so far this hour.
All right.
Meeting that we have met our goal for this hour. Big thanks to everyone who made it happen.
We set those hourly goals to make sure we have the funding for the programs you count on. Let's keep that momentum up now for the rest of this hour. If you've never made a gift to WPR, become a member. Power the news, talk, and music you rely on with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You join us daily on Central Time from 3 until 6, and you get a wide variety of topics that make your afternoon more interesting. Today, we've already talked about why cats purr. We're going to learn about how to simplify French baking. Later on in the show, we're going to learn about brain fog and the science behind that and what we know. Your support makes all this news and information possible. Give now to support it at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can become part of our community of members now, people who support the programs they value.
If you've never given before, start with a gift of $120. Or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member. And because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you're really making a difference. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's $5 Friday. Today only, make a difference for your community and get the new WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month for the WPR programs you love. With a vibrant navy and orange design, this USA-made cotton tote is the perfect way to let the world know WPR is your source for information and inspiration. This offer is only available today, $5 Friday. Ask for your tote bag now when you give $5 a month or more. Here's how.
Make the gift, get the bag at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter on Central Time. The WPR programs you count on are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference for our entire community.
A $10 a month contribution, that works out to just 33 cents a day. When you think about all the daily information and inspiration you get from WPR programs, that's a great value.
What else can you get for 33 cents a day? Not a whole lot. Make your gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. For 33 cents a day, you'll get programs that keep you engaged and up to date.
If you've already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. You're the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Member drives are such an important time to hear from new members. Maybe you've been listening for a few decades, maybe just a few months. If you've never given before, though, make today the day you become a WPR member.
Make that gift, become a new member. And if you give $5 a month or more, ask for the new Wisconsin Public Radio tote bag. It's a USA-made tote, only available for $5 a month today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are not a sustaining member, hey, become one right now. Easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and provide reliable support for the programs you love.
It's the last weekday of this fall member drive, your last chance to give during Central Time. We heard from Thomas in Fox Point who says, I support all of the programming at WPR. And Lisa in Sheboygan says, I appreciate the educational aspect of the Ideas Network and the excellent Wisconsin news coverage. Thank you so much, both of you, Thomas and Lisa, for giving and for the kind words. How about you? What do you appreciate about Wisconsin Public Radio? Put a little value on it and make a gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. What comes to mind when you think of French baking? Maybe colorful macarons or a buttery chocolate croissant, fancy stuff in a fancy store, and maybe complex and fussy recipes. Our next guest says, those are great, but they're not the kinds of sweets you see a lot of French people baking at home. She says home cooks in France have simple classics they've learned to master, and she says, you can do it too. Maybe even I can do it. You could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite French dessert? Have you ever attempted baking inspired by people in France? Maybe it's part of your own family's background. Call in with your thoughts, your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Alexandra Crapanzano is a James Beard Award-winning writer and dessert columnist for The Wall Street Journal. She's the author of multiple cookbooks, including her latest, Gâteau, The Surprising Simplicity of French Cakes. Alexandra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, sometimes I read a book and I think this is really targeted very narrowly at me because I think exactly what you are trying to overcome here, that, oh, French bakery stuff, it's fancy and it's too hard to make. Open our eyes to this world of French home baking.
You know, I spent a lot of my childhood in France and I moved there when I was 10 and I would go over to, you know, kids' houses and I would usually see a really simple cake on the counter. Could be a yogurt cake. It could be their version of a pound cake, which was a 4/4. It could be a honey cake, an almond torte. I mean, all sorts of good, but, you know, really very simple, one layer. Nothing too fussy, not a lot of decoration, not overly sweet, but incredibly, incredibly good. And, you know, and I kind of guess learned really firsthand that, you know, the French, when they want something really intricate and fancy, they will go to a pâtisserie and they will leave it to the pros, the guys and women who have spent, you know, 12 years apprenticing and another 5 years in culinary school and really, really know how to make those incredibly designed, beautiful, intricate pastries. But at home, they'll do what we do everywhere, which is to bake something simple.
And a common theme in your cookbook is people seem to master some basics and then they play with it and they do a lot of fun variations once they've gotten the basics. Can you talk about that attitude toward baking?
Absolutely. So it starts in maternelle, which is kindergarten. And I think in the same way that we have the Toll House cookie recipe, right? I mean, the chocolate chip cookie is the American icon. In France, at the age of five in school, you are literally taught how to make a yogurt cake. And the yogurt cake is so simple because you take the little jar that yogurt comes in, which is always the same size in France, and you dump it into a bowl and then you use that empty yogurt jar to measure the flour and the sugar and some oil, and you add eggs and you just stir it with a whisk and pour it into the pan and boom, it's done. And so by the time you are, six, you've actually made a cake. And for the rest of your life, you can really riff on that recipe. And I've seen people of all ages make these basic cakes. And then what they do, because they have these recipes really, really ingrained in their head, I mean, it's almost like muscle memory, then they get to play with it. Then they get to riff. So they can, you can throw in whatever fruits in season, you can throw in nuts, you can toss some chocolate chips and a little bit of flour and add those. You can add a little rose water, orange blossom water. If you want something boozy, you can make a little kind of soaking syrup with some Grand Marnier or some cognac or, even bourbon, whatever, rum, coffee. It's having those basics really just lets you play with them for the rest of your life. And because you know the basics and because you know that you're never going to have trouble with these recipes, you get to do it very, very casually. People can make these cakes while you're, talking on the phone and, doing three other things at the same time, which I love.
And Alexandra, you shared a few recipes with us. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday, including that yogurt cake, that starter one we were just talking about. And I got to say, I was looking at the book and I flipped the page, that's it. You actually have two versions of it on the same page. It can be that simple and it doesn't take a lot of time, right?
Exactly. It takes 5 minutes at most to put together. And then, depending on what pan you bake it in, you can bake it in an 8-inch round, a 9-inch round, a loaf pan. You can make it into muffins if you want yogurt muffins in the morning too, and add some chopped apples, which is great. Some cinnamon, even do a little cinnamon sugar on top, which is great for the season.
One thing I love about this, you mentioned a few moments ago that often these French homemade cakes are not as sweet as a lot of our treats in the United States. And I love a sweet treat, but sometimes I like something that's not so in your face sweet. That's a pretty common trend, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I think it's why the French can actually eat dessert every day. they're not having, cakes with an inch of icing. But I think it really comes down to a belief that food, whether it's savory or sweet, should be nuanced. And so they don't want sugar to be the predominant flavor, right? Because if you take a bite of something that is super, super sweet, your mind immediately reads sugar. And what they really want you to do is read whatever it is that the cake is featuring. So if that's apple, they want you to taste apple. If it's hazelnut, hazelnut. If it's chocolate, chocolate. It's really about making sure that the sugar never kind of upstages the other ingredients. And I love that because it also means that suddenly you're tasting the real appleness of an apple at an apple cake. Or you're suddenly getting that little tiny pucker in a raspberry. And so the food is incredibly satisfying. These recipes are kind of flavor forward, and you don't miss the sugar.
We're talking to Alexandra Crapanzano, author of the new cookbook, Gâteau, The Surprising Simplicity of French Cakes. We've got a few recipes from Alexandra over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's check out, Alexandra, another one of those recipes, the childhood cake. Now, you'll notice I'm saying the English names. I don't want to offend speakers of the French language. I butcher French pronunciations. You could share them if you want, but tell us about this childhood cake, please.
So this is a recipe I really love. And actually there's a whole range of recipes in this book and in France called Le Gâteau de Mamie, which basically means, grandmother's recipes. And they create massive nostalgia in people so that you will see, you will see 80-year-olds eating this and just big smiles on their faces. But what I love about this one is it such a simple one? It almost tastes a little bit like a creamsicle, if a creamsicle were really pure and not too sweet or artificial, but that nice flavor. But the secret to this is great. It's you butter your pan and then you actually sprinkle it with a fair amount of sugar. You can do this with a raw sugar, which creates a little bit more crunch, or granulated sugar. And that means that when you actually bake this incredibly simple dessert, the exterior, the surface, just has that kind of great slightly crispiness to it, but really, really thin. But it's just got a great texture, because underneath that is a very, very moist orange cake, essentially. So it's an absolutely fantastic combination. I love it. I mean, I would say that's like one of the great starter recipes.
I wanted to ask about one of the ingredients that you say is key to a lot of these, and that's butter. Butter makes a frequent appearance. You can use, I guess, any butter, but is there any kind of special butter that really adds a layer to these things?
You know, if you can buy a European butter or an American butter that is has a higher degree of fat, it makes an enormous difference. All of these recipes are actually tested with, you know, American Land O'Lakes butter, so really easy to work with whatever you've got. But for cakes that are really butter focused, like there's a great Breton butter cake in which butter is actually the predominant flavor. This is very, very French, right? And French butter just contains a higher degree of fat, and that also means it contains a smaller percentage of water. So you're just getting a more butteriness of that butter, which I have to say is kind of great. And then they also use a lot of browned butter. So they will cook butter over medium heat in a wide kind of frying pan until it gets to be the color of hazelnuts, and it will actually also smell of hazelnuts. And this just gives another layer of depth to whatever they're cooking. It's such an amazing trick. You can do all sorts of things with brown butter.
I know there are some people out there listening who avoid gluten for one reason or another, at least one here on the Central Time team. Are some of these French cakes gluten-freeable?
100%. So the French love cooking with nut flours. So there's a whole chapter on nut torts, and those are gluten-free. So there's pistachio, there's hazelnut. I mean, I actually have a pine nut cake somewhere else. It's not gluten-free, but it's really good. Almond cakes, many different kinds of almond cakes. So, you know, they tend to not call cakes gluten-free, but they do make an enormous number of these great, just really simple, kind of one layer nut torts that are all gluten-free. And then, you know, then there's everything to do with meringues, which are gluten-free, right? So a pavlova, which is, almost like a great big dish that's made with meringue that's filled with whipped cream and has topped with lots of fruit. That, of course, you know, is basically egg whites and sugar. So that is absolutely gluten-free. And they make another cake called a décoise, which is also made with layers of meringue that sandwich a mousse. It could be a chocolate mousse. It could also be a kind of spiked creme chantilly. It could be all sorts of things. But again, these are great variations, and they're just naturally gluten-free. And just so they're not replacing anything. They're just naturally that way.
And just our last minute, you mentioned a lot of people feel, you know, nostalgia growing up with these cakes. You mentioned spending your childhood in France. Is there one that really takes you back?
Oh my gosh. You know, I have a thing for chocolate. I'm sure there are a couple of, you know, and it was funny writing this book, because there's a large chocolate chapter in the book. And then I realized there's chocolate in pretty much every chapter in the book as well. But there's a cake called a Gâteau Suzy, which is just so simple and so fantastic. And it does have a couple tablespoons of flour. So it's not flourless. It has a little bit more structure, but it is a really, really rich chocolate cake. Again, not too sweet. They use a dark chocolate. They're not adding too much sugar. So when you bite into it, you're really getting that chocolate sensation. And so that's my rosebud. Definitely.
Awesome. Alexandra, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Alexandra Crapanzano, James Beard Award-winning writer and dessert columnist at The Wall Street Journal. We talked to her today about her latest cookbook. It's called Gâteau, The Surprising Simplicity of French Cakes. You can find a few recipes from Alexandra over at wpr.org/foodfriday. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Dean Kinetter joins me. Listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It is a great time to give because it's $5 Friday. That means you can ask for the WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month today. Support the programs you value, and you'll be broadcasting your love for Wisconsin and your favorite radio station with this awesome tote bag. This offer is available today only, though, so give now.
Hey, Dean, you know how easy it is to give?
How easy is it?
It's a piece of cake, Dean.
Oh, my. That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. That one I just came up with. I haven't been plotting that all day. Now, but seriously, this was a fun Food Friday conversation, exactly what I always hope to hear from Food Friday. This is stuff that I think if you're, you know, I'm an okay cook. I'm not like a cooking genius, a super foodie, but this is stuff I could take home and use and do. These recipes we've got at WPR.org/Food Friday, practical things that we can use in our own kitchens to make awesome food. This is the kind of conversation you can count on here on Food Friday.
Definitely. It makes it seem accessible and frankly inspired me. Maybe I'm going to try out that yogurt cake this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Really
I want to try that.
A little bit of orange flavor in there. Delicious. WPR, all these conversations are listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these topics you tune in for possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make that gift.
Today is $5 Friday. Ask for the new WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month or more. This USA-made cotton tote features a vibrant navy and orange design, and it celebrates the stuff you love about WPR, the high-quality news, talk, and entertainment with a Wisconsin perspective. This special $5 offer only available today, so give $5 a month or more. Ask for your tote bag right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I wake up to Wisconsin Public Radio. The alarm goes off. It's better than a snooze alarm for me because I get to hear a lot of interesting things, especially in the car. If it's not public radio, I'll turn on some golden oldies for a while, but that gets, then you heard the same song 75,000 times, you get tired of it. Maybe try some country western, but mostly I keep going back to public radio because there's always new stuff. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
If you have that appreciation for Wisconsin Public Radio, you can help make it happen when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's the Fall Member Drive on Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you count on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
We hear from a lot of first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or people who have turned 30 and realized, hey, I'm grown up now, I can support WPR.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, is a great way to mark a new phase of your life. A lot of first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that's right for you. Then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And it's going to feel great when you do it, too. Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is one place where that's true every single day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at WPR, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A big thanks to everyone who's given this hour. We've got a couple more minutes if you want to join in. Your gift is really important. It makes Central Time and all the other shows here possible. You can join in at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Show off your love for WPR and for Wisconsin while you run errands, head to work, or carry library books. Today only, ask for the new WPR tote bag when you get $5 a month for the WPR news and entertainment you count on. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Could have used that tote this weekend, Rob. I was at the farmer's market.
Oh.
I was carrying mushrooms and cider and all sorts of stuff. Didn't have a bag.
Needed a tote.
I needed the tote, and this is a good-looking tote, too. So it's a great day to give it, to get it, $5 Friday. Your gift is going to pick up that tote and make sure that these great programs are here well into the future. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last weekday of this member drive. Last chance to give during Central Time. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org. It'll take you really just 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes, or you can call 888-202-2552 to make your gift to WPR. Dean, great news. We are blasting past our goal this hour on this last weekday of the drive. I think, can we even double the goal? Do you think we could do that? Get up to 20?
We can adjust these goals. Yeah, let's keep the momentum going. Get more people on the team. Get more people part of that WPR family.
Dean in Eau Claire says, we give because my family finds continuous joy and knowledge through listening to the many wonderful programs the station has to offer. Larry Mueller, Central Time, locally Spectrum West are some favorites that keep us informed in culture, news, and the natural world. Dean says, thank you so much. Dean, thank you for giving. How about you? You count on us for great conversations here on the Ideas Network, for awesome news coverage from our news team on the air and online at WPR.org. We really do count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you.